What's up, everybody? Welcome back to episode 166. This is a great episode because we have friends of the show, friends of ours, colleagues slash team members of ours. You'll hear more about that in a second. Mig and Carrie. Gotta roll the R when you say her name.
Yes.
They are from Canada, from Ontario, Canada. They run a video and social media management agency based out of near Ottawa, Ontario. Beautiful, beautiful business that they've been building. Husband-wife team. They are so fun. Great people, and their insights on this episode were so good. We talked about how to build retainers, how to get more retainers, how to keep retainers longer, and then we switched the whole conversation and went into how to actually speak to your ideal client on social media using some of their past work that they've recently put out as a brilliant example. They've been doing it really, really well, and not a lot of creatives do that super well.
No.
It's a difficult thing sometimes, so we talk about a ton of things that you can take with you, take some notes on it so you can make better content for your ideal client. This was just a phenomenal episode. So
yeah,
good.
It's so good. And Mig was actually a part of like round three of the Creative Rise Mastermind.
It's
amazing.
Ago.
And now both him and Kitty have been a part of Inner Circles. It's been unbelievable working with them. And speaking of the mastermind, we just closed enrollment this last week with the most incredible group of creatives. We've got
it's a great group.
All around the world joining in.
Australia, New Zealand, all over Canada, all over the US.
Literally
everywhere.
So many places. And it's amazing what these people are already doing. And they're gearing up to get started this next week. We are so pumped to just grow with these creatives for the next 6 weeks. It's going to be absolutely amazing. If you feel like, oh my gosh, I missed out. You did, but you can join the waitlist, creativerise.com. That's it. Literally creativerise.com.
Yeah,
you can join the waitlist there. We're going to give you guys mastermind updates for these next few weeks on the podcast.
On their wins, what
on
they're
their
learning.
Wins and all that kind of stuff. Because again, it's just encouraging when you see other creatives doing incredible things. So buckle up and follow along with that. But then also buckle up for this episode because it's going to be so good. Here's Mig and Carrie.
Welcome to the Creative Rise podcast, where we believe you deserve to break the creative struggle and it should be simple.
We are so grateful you're here with us today. Let's dive in.
All right, Mig and Carrie, welcome to the podcast. Mig and Carrie, welcome to the podcast. I'll roll my R's for you.
I never roll your R. I don't know why. I just always call you Carrie. I'm always just like Carrie.
It's okay. It's
awesome.
Okay. You just say it like you say it the American way.
Exactly. Yes. I know.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Guys, welcome to the show. This has been a very long time coming. Real quick, how long have you guys been around Creative Rise for?
Coming in on like almost 4 years.
Almost 4 years this year.
Yeah.
Okay, and when I say been around Creative Rise, describe what that is for everybody who's listening who has no idea what I'm talking about.
Well, been around Creative Rise, like known about Creative Rise and been interested in Creative Rise, but we've been, for 3 years and a few months, we've been working with you guys.
Yes.
You guys being one of our retainers for 3 years and a few months now.
Yes.
Content stuff. So all of these reels that are cut up and all that. So yeah.
And then, Mig, what round of the mastermind were you in? You were in
I was in round three.
Four?
Three.
Ooh, an OG.
Way back.
For those of you listening, we're on round 11 right now.
Hold on a second. Was round three was before you, right?
No.
No, you were there, yeah.
No, I was.
Was the first one she was a part of?
No. You were in the second. I was there. Yes,
okay,
I was
so
there.
He
was not in our first one.
Yeah, I think it was, because I ran two of them prior to you.
I know, but.
Okay.
Yeah. I think maybe you were in four.
I don't know. I think he was in three. Okay. We can figure
this
out another time.
Either way,
it's been a long time.
And
it is ridiculous that both of you guys have not been on the show multiple times already.
I know. So
because
much value.
You are the team behind the show.
You've been on the show. You've just been
you guys
in
have
the show.
Such a great business as well, which is so cool. So, you guys have been in, you were in round three, you've been to two Inner Circle events, you've been with us as a team for years, and you guys also have a beautiful business, which is what we want to talk about today.
Yes.
So, as we always do, rapid fire right off the bat. So, Mig and Carrie, where are you guys from?
We're from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada.
Ottawa, Ontario.
Awesome.
Not Quebec.
Not Quebec, but we speak
not Quebec.
Yeah,
but you speak French.
We speak French.
Both
okay.
French is both of their first languages.
Yeah, I was gonna say, can we just ask, at what age did you guys learn English? Like, very well.
I was probably fifth grade.
Yeah, I was more like early high school, like 14, 15 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
So impressive.
Probably. So impressive. Your English is so good.
One language. And I feel like you guys speak English better than I do sometimes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So you guys are incredible.
All right. What's your business?
English is way easier than French.
To learn. Yeah.
To learn. So.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe that's why I struggled
just
with
make things easy. Okay. What's your guys' creative business? If you're in an elevator, what do you respond to when someone says, hey, what do you do?
We run a creative agency by doing video production and social media management content for brands.
Amazing. And clear. Then we already did the how long you've been doing it. Or no.
No, haven't. How long have you guys how been long? In business for?
Yes.
We've been in business for 3 years and a few months.
Yeah.
So
3 years and a few months.
We pretty much launched our first time, like launched our business together. And then you guys, like a week after that, were like our first retainer. When yeah. I like finished
first
the
First retainer client. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go.
Crazy. It's been a while. Okay. So, and then last question, our favorite question. What's a flop? And I want both you guys to give a flop you've had in business. Humanize yourselves.
I can go first. I once bought a drone and, you know, I was playing with it and like testing it out and stuff because I had like a project I was doing. And then I was like, oh, we should fly it over boats on the river. Like that'd be pretty sick. So we get out there and I'm like, I forget my SD card. So that's the first flop. But then so stubborn, I run back home and grab it. And then I start filming with it. And then I dropped the drone in the lake.
Oh. How did it drop in the lake? Like, what do you mean you dropped
DJI it? DJI Phantom drones had the toggle where it could lock. If you were super high up, you could just bring the joystick down and it would lock in place. So it would like auto drop. I didn't know that was like toggled. So I was talking with my stepdad on the boat, like, yeah,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, this and that. Meanwhile, the drone's just slowly like going down. And then at a distance,
he's
like, isn't your drone like go pretty close to the water? And as I turned, I just saw it went in and that's it.
No, did it sink?
Yeah. Right away.
Yeah. Oh no.
You didn't go diving for it in the Ottawa River?
Oh
dude,
my god.
That river is murky. You're not seeing nothing.
You're like, there are scary things.
Oh
down
my
there.
Gosh.
Absolutely
okay. Kennedy, what
funny.
About you?
Yeah, what's a flop?
I wanted to say the flop about the tax thing. Nick is a little embarrassed that I say that story, but
we're I love this.
Riding
tell
tax
it.
Season right now. So first year in business, we started charging the provincial tax. Here in Ontario, a few months after we started, and then we had to pay income taxes as well. But we were so not like business savvy at that point that we couldn't really make a difference between the two taxes. So a year after, like at the end of our first year in business, our accountant was like, okay, did you pay your HST and then your income tax? And then we just put like 20% aside. So we had to pay like HST and income taxes from our savings because we didn't save that money.
Yeah.
We just paid ourselves with the tax. Mm.
Like, dude, we're
nothing like an unexpected tax bill
it
to really bring you down.
Yeah, but I mean, that year though, we were like, man, we're cranking money right now. Yeah. Savings are going
we
up.
We have so much money.
Yeah, like how I've been able to save like, you know, a good chunk of money. And it's like, yeah, you guys owe like $8,000 each by the end of the week or something. And I'm like, oh, that's why it went. So
that was a rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a
oh my gosh.
It was the best way for us to learn though.
Yeah, for sure.
Because
big
flaw. Because after that is when we talked to you guys about it. And then you you guys were teaching the how to divide your money when money comes in, estimate how much tax you're gonna pay, put that money aside. If you're putting that money aside, it's only fair that you pay yourself that same amount of money for your investments account. So we've been doing like your strategy ever since, and like we haven't had an issue.
It's been good.
You have more money aside in their tax account when it's done, and we can like pay ourselves a bit. So.
What I love about flops is that somebody listening is about to make that flop and they're like, oh shoot, now I know that I actually need to save when I'm in Canada, the HST versus the income tax, and they just avoided a flop because you shared your flop, which I appreciate.
Well, it doesn't matter where you are if you are eligible for sales tax. There's a difference between sales tax and income tax, right? So, okay, cool. I love that one. I've never heard that story.
I know. I appreciate that.
Oh, no. We never told anyone.
We don't say it often.
This is the first.
This is the first time it's going public on the podcast.
I love it. Okay.
That's great.
It's a moment for us. So it's like we're not proud of that.
I love that.
You mean you learn.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's something you should be proud of to share because that's a good flop. And that's one of the best flops we've probably ever had on the podcast.
We all make those flops, though.
And it's great how easy you obviously learn from that, which is cool.
I'm like, I don't don't know any creative business owner who hasn't had some unexpected tax bill.
You will never make that flop again.
Yeah. No.
Okay, so you guys do social media management and video production. Real quick, talk about the two of those, and you mainly focus on people that are that work with you on a retainer model. Break that down real quick for people that are listening, going, what does that actually entail?
Want to go over that?
You go first.
Yeah. So you want me to say the social media management side or the video production side?
Well, basically, all of our retainers, we work on them together. Like, we work for all the our clients. We do it all together. So I do photos, Meg does some photos and videos, and I do all the social media management. So all of our social media management clients have, like, a full package, most of them, of the content and social media management. So we've always felt like offering everything would be like a better deal for brands.
Like, we the way we like to put it is that we kind of build our own little department for a business, a brand or business, and we can be that external marketing department that we don't need, you know, parking, we don't need sick days, we don't need
office
space. Gear and all that, so people can hire us kind of as a, you know,
external team. But we're still part of their team. We really feel like we're part of every, like, every client we work with, we feel like we're part of the team.
We're not just dropping photos and, you know, you do you. Everything from thinking about ideas to create for the next, the following month, all the way to actually posting it. You know, make sure there's hashtag research in the, each post and sharing the stories through their accounts. So,
like, report analysis on insights on their social media. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
There's a truly full service.
Yeah. Really which is amazing.
Yeah.
Which is a great offer. So here's let's talk numbers for just a second. Mig, when we first met, what were you doing in your creative business?
Financially, the very first year, it was I actually graduated college that year, and it was right in the peak of COVID. So there wasn't a lot of people hiring. Everything was kind of like, you know, not moving. And when I first decided to make the jump and to do, you know, to go full time, and even a few months after that is when I invested into the mastermind. But before that, I think I was charging like $800 for a video, $800 to 1,000 was like, I couldn't charge more than 1,000 for a video project. Like, that's not.
Yeah.
So, like, I did not make a lot of money during that time. I think it was kind of also like, I was only doing that for probably 8 months before we jumped in with retainers, like style model, retainer model for clients.
Yeah.
So I think I probably made only like 15, below 20 grand during that 8 months and stuff.
Then you guys started working together. You know, took the strategies that we were teaching in the mastermind, started implementing them, especially when it comes to like the recurring model of business,
which
you guys have done a great job at. And where's your business been at since the last couple of years?
We've been able to
We changed so many things. With the retainer models, we were able to surpass six figures.
Yeah, for multiple years now.
Multiple years.
Yeah, and stabilized. You guys are stabilized past that, which is amazing.
So cool.
And we were just in the desert with you guys 2 weeks ago for our Inner Circle retreat, and you guys have got a beautiful plan to continue to grow that even more, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I remember when we finished writing your plan on the board, I was like, yo, this is sick. Yeah. I was so pumped. Yeah. I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
Okay, so Let's talk about how to get a retainer. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should talk about that. How to get a retainer, because so many of the creatives that we are around are either in two buckets. One, they know they need retainers, yet they don't know how to actually get a retainer.
Yeah.
Or two, they don't know they need retainers and their business is really struggling because of it. Mm-hmm. They're going one off to one off to one off to one off. So talk retainers.
Yeah.
In your mind, what is a retainer? Why don't we start with that? Like, what is a retainer? And then let's talk about how to potentially approach getting one.
Yeah.
So I think having retainer clients has been like a game changer for us. It's really good for our business because you kind of know that you'll have money coming in for like the next few months. Usually we don't sign contracts below like 3 months.
Yeah, the minimum.
So at least we know that like for 3 months and probably more, like all of our retainers that we have right now, we've been working with them for like 2 to 3 years, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
By having retainers, you get to build better relationships with your clients because you get to know them better and be part of their team.
Mm-hmm.
and
you're more efficient.
More efficient, yeah.
Yeah, after a while, you know the routine, you know when...
You know the brand, you know the kind of style and ideas they're looking for.
But I feel like the other thing too, the big part of that is knowing how to... So I feel like every business kind of needs retainer style work, but it's trying to find that and educate your client on why retainers are super important for their brand. And what we try to do is to look holes through problems that are long-term problems, problems that keep happening throughout every single month, not just a website video, like a header website.
Not a retainer problem.
Exactly. But it's like, no, it's like trying to educate them on, you know, the importance of showing up daily, either in stories or
Reels,
throughout the week.
Photos.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a problem that happens every month. Every month they need content to be active. So whether you're in a high season of the year or a low season of the year, they still need to be active and, you know, out there. So it's a problem that's always going to happen. So you'll always have a solution for it. Therefore, you're able to, you know, really scale that long term and build a longer term relationship with them.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a big thing for us, is trying to find issues that reoccur.
Go ahead. No, you finish with the awesome next
content,
question.
Content, photos, and video is good. But I think, like, for us, I don't know if it's easier when we offer them like a long-term contract, but having the social media management side of it in our business, I think is a big plus for businesses, because sometimes businesses get content like photo, video, but they don't know how to use it. They don't know where to post it. They don't know really what to do with them. So I think offering social media management has been really good, like a good service we offer.
Mm-hmm.
And clients really enjoy that.
Yeah. It's one and done.
Describe the type of businesses you're working with. So who are you like looking to work with? Like small companies, medium, big, like certain industries? Like who do you guys, you know, pitch, or who reaches out to you that you really focus on? Mm-hmm. On these are the people that have this type of problem and they're willing to accept help. Because I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like, I'm reaching out to all these people trying to pitch this retainer model, and we can get into pitching in a second. But just first of all, start with who are you working with? Who are you targeting?
Yeah, we work with business professionals like you guys as well that offer a service and not just a product. We also work with businesses that do sell like product and have like an e-commerce shop online. And, you know, I feel like the super big brands, you know, they're run by big agencies that manage a bunch of brands. So it's kind of hard to convince them that you could be, or just to educate them on how you can be a great asset to the team from a distance. But I feel like medium to large brands, they're kind of at the point where they need to invest that money in us to buy time, like back into their day to perfect their product, to really, you know, talk to their ideal clients or rework on the website, or like making sure you know, prototypes are getting to their warehouse on time, and you know they have a whole bunch of other stuff to work on. So, you know, doing stories or posting reels about their product is not something that squeezes into their daily, you know, their daily to-do list. So
like usually it's still, when we reach out to those brands, it's still the owner of that business who manages social and taking photos, sometimes like an employee, but not an employee that's the social media manager, like sometimes like an employee in like finance, and the social media management, but they can't.
So it's
there's also the
it's probably so what do you think revenue wise for everybody who's listening, like, where do you think a brand's revenue has to be, or a business's revenue has to be, for you guys to kind of be in the ballpark of being able to work with them? Like, what would be too low where you don't think they'd, one, be able to afford you, or maybe it wouldn't be worth it? But two, where do you think you kind of top out to where maybe they'd have their own internal team? Or because those are important things to think about when you're prospecting, looking for new clients, right? Exactly. And a lot of creatives waste time because they start reaching out and pitching clients from a revenue perspective that would never be able to hire them, for either on the low end reason they can't afford them and they're not doing enough business, or on the high end, they've got their own team already, you know, in-house or agency.
I feel like for us, a good ballpark to look for is a brand that's, if that brand is considering hiring out a social media management or a marketing person full time at like a $50,000 a year wage, then they, instead of having one person, like we're saying, that, you know, is on payroll, you know, has sick days, pays for parking, need
payroll tax.
Then instead of going that route, they can always, because some of those businesses, they do a huge and a good amount of money, but they just don't, either they don't have the office space or they don't run a position to take care of an employee in a certain way. So I feel like businesses that are at the point where they're considering hiring out someone full time, we could kind of be another option for them at that point.
Yeah, because we were pitching to all brands that it looked cool on Instagram. Yeah. Like, we want to work with them. But now we kind of shifted our pitching method, and we're not pitching so much to like low ticket clients anymore. That wasn't really working. So yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Like,
it was working. Yeah. We felt like our services could be better used elsewhere.
Yeah, for sure. And also like the stability, like sometimes they would hire us for 3 months and be like, oh, we can't really afford you anymore because it's small.
We've had that happen.
So now we're targeting businesses that
Would you say revenue wise, maybe falling around like the 300 to 500K mark?
Well,
I'd
say 250 up, definitely.
Yeah.
If they have
250. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And then, that's
cool.
Great.
So understanding who to work with when you are pitching retainers is probably, from what you just said, and we know it is, and you guys know it is, but for the sake of the show and everyone listening, knowing who to work for is actually a contingent on how long you work for them. Because if you get hired by someone who's too small, like you just said, they're going to get maybe a month or two in, and they don't actually have the cash to run them long term to start seeing the results they need to get. Mm-hmm. So they back out early. So let's talk about, how do you keep a retainer? Because we were just at the Inner Circle Retreat with you guys and a bunch of other really awesome creatives, and so many people kept looking at you guys going, wait, you've worked for a couple different companies for a couple of years? Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy, you know? Like, I remember doing that. Palm Coolers is one of my first retainers, and I worked with them for 3 years. You know, we've been working with you guys for 3 years, and I know you guys have other long-term clients as well. Mm-hmm. Other than just picking them, like having a good, you could call it like the way people call them, relationships, like, oh, he or she, like, she's got a good picker. Like, she's good at picking people, or he's good at picking people. Having a good picker for your business and who you're trying to work with is obviously important. Outside of that, though, what is something else that you think leads to being able to continually work and just get your clients results and continually work with them on a long-term basis?
Mm-hmm. Well, content-wise, I think some people kind of like run out of ideas after a while for a client, because sometimes like the product is the same and it's hard to switch things around and bring new ideas to the table. But also communication is a big one. I feel like we have good platforms where we communicate with our clients. We always like have new ideas.
I feel like we've heard a few people, peers in the Inner Circle, saying that they tried social media management teams or content creation teams, that, you know, they come in every month and they're like, okay, what are we creating? And then the person that are paying them is like, well, I need you to like help me, you know, conjure up some ideas here and brainstorm some stuff. So we like to stay on top of things when it comes to, like Kenny said, like communication. So we're like, you know, we told our clients, if we're bugging you guys too much through email, like, let us know, but we're going to make sure that, you know, we're always there, and there's communicate with all of our clients, you know, multiple times a week, always to make sure, hey, this is coming up. What product are we focusing on for next month? What can we implement now that's going to make it easier for next month? Anything, you know, we saw these ideas, and like, we'll save posts on Instagram and like, you know, pull them up in meetings and say, we saw this. This could be a super cool and artistic way to show something different. One thing we've also done with one of our clients is, so when we started working with them, it was growing on socials and, you know, putting beautiful photos out there so that when people land on their page, they're, you know, well-respected in their industry. And
They have a brand identity online.
And now they're wanting to focus less on short-form video, which, you know, it's kind of odd because as of right now, everybody's like short-form for everything. Because they did some analytics and they've noticed that a lot of their sales comes from their newsletter. So what we've implemented now is we're doing a few less reels, and we're doing like newsletter landscape, not vertical, but landscape photos that are, you know, the products like on a quarter of the image, and there's like some side for them to put some images or some text on the side. So we're like, we shift our offer a little bit here and there while lifting the price, but nothing too drastic. We'll never like, you know, go in and like double the price on a random month. And if there is more work, we'll just advise them beforehand. We'll send an estimate like, hey, I know next month is super busy. You guys have a new product rolling out. We'll have to create double the amount of content. So the add-on that's going to be caught, like, does this work with you? Like the add-on price, and we can negotiate from there. But yeah, making sure that we're not labeling ourselves as we'll do the Instagram and Facebook content.
Thing, yeah.
And if you want work elsewhere, you have to go out. Like, we're your creative team. We're here to help. We've also modified a package for a few months where we stopped doing reels and we focused on redoing some of their e-com photos. So we would do a set of e-com photos per month of their product because they wanted to revamp it, but they didn't want to pay someone out or, you know, pay an additional, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 for a full e-com set. So we've just implemented that in there. It saves them time for them to find someone else. It, you know, problem solved for them. They can check that off the list and they don't need to, you know, to find someone or to negotiate or extra. We can subtract something out of our package and switch it out with something else. That requires the same amount of work and stuff.
But so, I think that's a big for businesses too, that we're super flexible. Yeah. If like 1 month they want less video or more photo, more photos for their website, we kind of just do what they need. And I think, it's a big plus because we help them solve the problems they have and we don't stick to one solution and like that's all we do. We try to stay really flexible with all our clients.
With what their needs are. Yeah. Like we've had a month where they literally said, we'll pay you this month, but do not create anything. But next month, let's just double the list because we'll send you the new product and we'll need more. So that month we really did nothing. Mm-hmm. We got paid still. And the next month we did a bit more work. But so having that flexibility and being open to these kinds of things and having those conversations also ahead of time with your clients. And some clients won't want to impose those ideas to you because they either out of respect or they're just like, they're not sure if you even offer that. So being open and bringing up the conversation beforehand saying, hey, we can switch things out depending on your needs throughout the seasons. We see a long-term game here. So let us know if there's anything we could do to help. And so that kind of makes the whole process smoother and better relationship in our opinion. So
yeah,
that's great. That's so good. I feel like the two things you just said, I think are where some creative struggle on keeping people is you guys stay results oriented. So I feel like you guys are like, we are flexible. Like if you need this, we can do it. If you need this, we can do it. If you need less posts this month, more posts the next month, whatever it is, you remain flexible, which most creatives, maybe not most, but many creatives who fail to keep retainers are like, nope, it's 30 images a month and it's this many hours and we don't move from that. And or it's like all over the place. And it's like, I love that you guys remain so flexible because you're results oriented and people feel that. You guys feel, and we can attest to this, right? Because we work with you guys. You guys stay results oriented. You're super flexible. But then your communication is also like off the charts. Like if we're like behind on something or whatever it is, you're like texting us being like, hey, we need this by whatever. Like you guys, again, have done such a good job about keeping it about the results and keeping it about the client. And I think a lot of creatives can really learn from that from you guys of it is all about keeping that relationship and all about pushing the company's goals forward. And if you want to get into retainers and you're listening to this, it is not about, oh, exactly how many deliverables you're giving. It's about the results the clients are getting and how do you make them feel like you're on their team rather than just another client.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's so good.
That's good. And the last thing I would say too is you guys are holding what you said, Kiera, you and me, you guys both said this, you know, you guys come in with intention and with creativity, with strategy. You guys bring forward that stuff going, oh, you don't know what to post? We can help you with that. But at the same time, if the client has like a direction they want to go, you guys don't go, no, well, we know what's going to work.
No,
we know what you're going to do. You guys also at the same time hold a balance of like, absolutely, we can make that for you. Absolutely, we can do that for you. So you guys hold both really well, where I think a lot of creatives go either way. They go, I have no idea what to do, so tell me what to do. And the client goes, well, I don't know what to do, so I'm not going to keep hiring you. And then the other side is the client goes, I don't really know what to do. And they hire a person because they have strategy, but then all of a sudden the client has an idea and they bash the client's idea and then they don't get hired back either. And you guys hold those two beautifully, which is super important. So if you're listening and you're like, how do I get more retainers? That's it. That's very, very important. Super important. All right.
Yeah. Sorry. Like at first we saw, we were like on a strict, like let's say 30 photos a month. And then after a few months, a client wanted to shift to videos, like 2 years ago, like short form was like becoming more of a thing, like a popular thing on Instagram, especially. So we made the switch, but we didn't, we started being like less strict on our
Yeah. And we've also, and it's not all like...
I feel like today it's making it easier for us to keep retainer this way.
So, yeah. And it's all, I feel like it's a two-way street for most of the stuff too. Like we've had clients want to shift to more videos and stuff, and we've done it for a few times to accommodate them at the same price it would do. But then it's like, okay, well, this is requires more work. So this would requires more pay. So it's kind of, you know, also having that self-respect and that, okay, what's our minimum level of engagement? What is the minimum number?
Absolutely.
That we will not accept work for under this amount. And this also gives you, you know, perspective on the entire year. So if you know that you're not leaving the house under a certain amount of price, a certain price, that will also, I feel like it just sets standards there for you. So when you don't know what the price and a project seems low, well, then you just go way down to your minimum level. So what's the least amount of money you'd be willing to make for a project? And then from there, you build on their needs. So
that's so good.
And if ever there's an inquiry for something and they need something less than what we're paying, well, we won't just like say, okay, yeah, we'll do it for less. We'll just say, hey, we would charge this amount for it, which is like our minimum level. We don't really say it's our minimum level, but this is what we would charge. If you feel like this is too pricey, let us know. We'll see if we can connect you with someone that could can help you out.
Yeah.
So sometimes we're aware that we might not be the best fit for someone.
Yeah.
Just a super small business and they need tips and stuff. And how much would you, like, we've had inquiries where it's like, yeah, we don't really have a good amount of funding to invest right now. But if you guys could just do like a few photos, we're like, hey, like, we don't necessarily do these types of projects. What we do is this. And if this is a bit too much for you right now, we're more than happy to see if we can connect you with someone around that can do the work. So,
Yeah, totally. Okay, so let's totally switch the conversation.
Yeah.
So, Meg, I saw you do something the other day, which I know when Meg does something well, you know Carrie's behind it. Because that is how all good things in life work when you have a phenomenal wife. So you guys are a great team. And you guys at the Inner Circle Retreat over the last, 2 weeks ago, we talked about you guys getting on camera even more than you have been and speaking to your ideal clients, which I'm assuming has not always been an easy thing to wrap your head around how to do, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, correct.
Which is difficult for everybody.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about this because the way that you guys have both done this, Kedri, yesterday on our, we did an ads call with everybody from the Inner Circle auditing everybody's ads, and you showed us a video you shot, and you were like super stuffed up and nasally because you were sick, but you still made the video anyways.
It sounded
and
so good.
It still sounded really good.
I didn't even hear the nasally thing at all.
Totally. So you still did a phenomenal job. And then, Meg, you had posted a reel the other day. You've actually posted a couple of them talking to the camera with your head in front of the camera, too. And you posted one the other day I thought was brilliant. So I want to talk now about how do you actually talk to your ideal client on Instagram? Because a lot of creatives will post content that's for their peers. It's for other creatives. It's not actually for their clients.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why they have no business, right? Mm-hmm. So the more you can show your face online, you can show face and you can show face in a way that's talking to your ideal clients, the better, obviously, your inquiries are going to be, your leads are going to be, right? So Meg, because you are the one who's going to be editing this podcast, I'll just say, let's roll the clip.
Yeah.
Let's take the audio from the clip or the audio and video from the clip that you posted. And I want to put that in the podcast right now. Yeah. And then, boom, it's done. Okay, so we just watched the clip.
Yeah.
And
that was fast.
What I love about that clip is you started, your opening line was talking about how most people think when you buy a video from you guys, you can only really use it in one place. And then you went on to talk about all the other places that you can use a video and you can use aspects of the video, cuts of the video, design elements from the video. And how many places did it cover? Was it like 9 different ways?
Yeah, it was a good amount. I think it was around that. Yeah, 8 or 9 different spots. So everything you create can be used in multiple places. So in the example you guys all just heard, and maybe if you didn't see it, sorry, you probably didn't... you heard what I said about even the like the small little animations, you know, when someone is shooting an interview and there's their little name that pops up and there's, you know, the logo of the company and then their marketing director and then the title or whatnot. Like those assets are good to use anywhere. Like you could use those, you could do a bunch of stuff with those. So what we were able to do is we were able to create a video and then, you know, obviously it was the goal of it was to do a post on social media and a post or use the video on the header of their product page. And chatting with the client, he has a background in graphic design, so he was really also keen on seeing where we can implement most of the stuff. So we did multiple cuts of just longer clips of the video. So everybody here that's listening that shoots video, you know that if you might shoot seven different angles of the product or the person or whatnot, and then you'll only use one in your main edit, but you still have a ton of footage in your card that you know you can use. So what I would do is I would just shoot a bunch of different angles, and the main angles I didn't use for the main video, I would use for a second cut of the video, or I would use in a vertical edit for social and stuff. So even if it's just exporting out two clips of the video for a quick 10 seconds, putting it at 720p, like quality, super low quality, but it's for them to use like in the footer of the website, or them to use as like an animated GIF in their newsletter. Like the stuff you create is not just meant for the one final product, and I mean, there's a gray area with that. So obviously if they would be like, yeah, we would want to also post a frame on a billboard, then, you know, there's also, you know, a percentage of money that you could charge for exposure and stuff. So there's a fine line on, don't just say this is yours and, you know, you can say that, do whatever you want or anything. But
as I mentioned earlier, I think when you give, especially like just the, where we do only like video, photos, one-off projects, when you give the content to the business, sometimes they just don't know what to do with it. And they feel like they're only paying for one video, let's say for $1,000. And it's like $5,000 only to post one video on Instagram. But part of the experience we offer to brands is really explaining and like providing value to just tell them like you could use it in so many other ways than just like so we don't like
totally.
For one of the projects, we don't do the social media management, but we still help them with the, like where to put the video, what to do with the video.
Yeah, totally,
for sure.
I kind of went off and talked about like the deliverables, but I know the main question was for social stuff.
Yeah.
Just one quick thing before, in the past, we've sent quotes out for video projects and people said, oh, like this is a bit over budget for now and all that stuff. And then we asked like, what was it a deliverables issue? Was it a funding issue on their side? They're like, well, we're just not sure. And all I've done is like, I said, hey, well, we can take from the main video. I could do three different cuts for social media that starts at different spots with three different musics or three different tracks or any, or, you know, whatever. From one video project, we could just do a couple of vertical cuts and add that in as an add-on, and we could stay at that price. Is that good? We could do that. So like, instead of going down on a project and meeting the client down to their asked price, we said, well, if we were to stick to this price, we can just bring this amount of value to the package and we can stay there. Is that okay? And they've said yes. And that doesn't really require more work on your side. Just do a couple of vertical edits of the main work you've done. But to come back to the social media thing, last year I posted a lot of content that was geared towards photographers and other filmmakers, like what lens they use for certain shoots, where I would put my lights. And that's all great. And, you know, it's good content, but clients don't care if you're using a big softbox or if you're using a book light with, you know, on a C-stand with a duvetteen blanket. They don't care. Yes. They just want it to be lit properly. So and this is also something I'll be implementing this year, and we're trying to navigate that and see how we can articulate ourselves better. But instead of talking about like BTS projects, like behind the scenes of how you shot it, speak about why you shot it that way and why that is good, because it highlights the product a certain way, it communicates to the client a certain way, and it really talks about, like, it's really result-based, essentially. So in that video, like, instead of saying, oh, we shot this and, you know, we made this amount, or this is how we shot it, it's like, we shot this and, I don't know, it's just...
Yeah, it's a good way for brands to see, like, if they hire us, they'll know what they pay for. Like they have.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and so,
it was a great way for them to see. Okay, if we spend the money with these guys, we're not just paying for a video. You're handling that objection of people saying, "Oh, well, it's a little bit expensive for a video." You're going, "No, it's not, because look how this video becomes nine different creative assets.
Exactly,
you can use on your web, email, product pages, header for your website, social media, Instagram stories, like you can use it everywhere, right?" So that's the point that I'm trying to get to, is so many people do not understand what their clients' objections are, and then they don't make videos about them because they don't even understand them. And then even further, sometimes you understand what your clients' objections are, but you still are afraid to put yourself in front of the camera and talk about it. And I think you guys have just done a beautiful job of doing that. I know you're going to continue to do that. So what are some other things that you think you can make content about that speak to your ideal client? So you obviously just said how our service can really get you a lot of bang for your buck. That's basically what you just said when you talked about that video you guys just did. What are some other ideas that you think would connect you and your ideal client through content online?
I feel like it's very much the idea of addressing the pain points early on and as quick as you can in like your content. So
yeah,
creating the need too.
Yeah.
Like when we want to call with them, sometimes we'll mention some pain points like Meg said, and they'll just like realize like, oh, like I need this.
Yeah, we do have those problems so, that's something we have to check. So I feel like there's also, so addressing the pain points. So let's say if we were talking about the retainer model, what you could say is, hey, like it is so stressful for someone that's running a business to find different photographers and videographers every month, get them to shoot different stuff. You'll experience inconsistency, you know, deliverables won't be sent on time, or not the saying that people won't send them on time, but if you're working with multiple people, they'll send them in at different times and you have to
Also different styles of content if it's coming from photographer, videographers. Yeah.
The edits aren't the same, so it kind of, you know, if you land on a page and everything is like, it's the same style of photos, but they're edited super differently. It kind of, subconsciously for me though, it like kind of throws me off because I'm like, I'm not sure what's going on here.
They say the feed doesn't matter anymore, but it does when you're like shopping.
Yeah. For me,
it matters.
Yeah.
It does matter. It's like if you went into a store and every wall was a completely different color. Yeah. Every set of clothing was completely different style. You're like, place doesn't seem to have a style.
Yeah. Brand. Yeah.
And so we even chatted about that like a few days ago too. It's like, it's one of the ideas we actually have for a reel. So we might post that up soon. But it's how if first impressions matter that much, then when people land on your page and they click on your content and they land on your feed, that is your first impression. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
As a lot of people say the feed doesn't matter and stuff, I believe that it matters.
Yeah.
And when you have a curated feed and people can immediately tell your style and stuff, it's good for two reasons, because it can attract your ideal client, people you want to work with. They'll actually want to work with you through that because they see your style that matches with them. And it also steers away the people that you're not even interested in working with. So if you have a particular style and people are coming to your page, you know, they don't like your style, then maybe it's not the best fit. So immediately you don't have to, you know, go on a sales call and realize down the line that, oh yeah, maybe this isn't the right fit. So it's good for multiple. But I'd say that in general, addressing pain points of what clients have, and you know, really trying to be like, I take a while to script my stuff because I want every line to be meaningful and to have an impact. So it's finding those sentences that really hit to their pain points and have them realize like, yeah, that's an issue. I spend way too much time on this.
Yeah.
He can fix it with a super easy solution. I also like showing examples. So I feel like on social, there's a lot of people that say, oh, like just do this, this, and this. And then there's no proof. I'm big on learning.
How they do it.
I'm big on learning with examples.
Yeah.
So like if someone's, I need a few examples when I'm learning stuff to just give me the concept a bit more. So I like to also show examples. So instead of just saying, oh, my website, use it here. I like to show people.
Yeah. And if I,
yeah.
If I was looking to hire a photographer, videographer for my brand, I would want to see results. You know, there's a ton of people online that just say, like, that's what I do, but they never provide examples.
So
that's what Meg is trying to do through his videos.
And also social.
100%.
If you have a long-term relationship with that client and they're more than happy to give out a testimonial and stuff, you can always chat about them with like, hey, like, what you just said to me on the call or whatever about what you liked about what I post, like shoot a comment in my post if you want. And that's social proof right there. Like in that reel, the client answered and commented on the post. So someone looking at what I did, the actual results, me explaining it to him. And then in the comments, the client is there saying, yeah, like super good. Awesome working with you. Like there's everything.
Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome social proof.
Social proof there. So yeah, it's kind of hard to beat when you have a recipe like that.
Totally. So it's just scaling that up more. It's it's talking about the problems you solve for your client, talking about how beneficial those problems being solved are and how for the price, it's actually a really good deal. Talking about how you save the client time, energy, and effort by you guys doing a lot of the legwork, you know, especially around even the social media management stuff you were saying, Kedri, you know, like there's so many things you can talk about. Problems, how we save you time and effort, how the solution really can help your business grow, and then examples of what you're doing. Those are four different things that you can make content about that will speak to your ideal client in a really beautiful way. Okay, cool. So let's wrap up with this. Because this has been an awesome episode.
Yeah.
We talked heavily on retainers and then heavily on how to speak to your ideal client. That could have been two podcasts for sure. So we're going to get you guys back on the show soon because we need to, because there's so many things we could talk about.
Yeah.
But let's wrap up with the signature questions here. Where can people find you guys?
Our Instagram. We are trying to focus more on posting this type of content on our creative agency Instagram page, Bourgogne Media.
Just say your Instagram as well.
On my Instagram, Karianne Lamarche, and
on my Instagram, Mig BRGD.
I love how Karianne's saying it with like such a, like just a normal, it has such like a French flair. It's like beautiful. Then Mig, she's like, Mig BRG.
I mean, it's, I need to, I thought of changing it, but I mean, I just had it for so long now. So
No, it's so good. It's good. Okay, so wait. Okay, so one more time, Mig.
We'll also just put it in.
Yeah, we'll put it in the link in the description. Mig is Mig at Mig, BRG.
Yeah.
BRG.
Karianne.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. BRGD. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Instagram is my full name, Karianne Lamarche, and I'm trying to say in English, but yeah.
People can start in the show notes, it'll be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good.
In the show notes.
All right, guys, so head to the show notes.
All the French people listening are like,
head to the show notes.
So clear.
To find their stuff and to check them out. And then last question, the classic question.
Yes. Why is it worth it for somebody to break the creative struggle? Why is it worth it for somebody to strike out on their own? Maybe like right now they're driving Zambonis and they are travel agents, which is what you guys used to do.
Yeah.
But why is it worth it to pursue a creative business?
Go first.
I feel like I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's being on your own hours and doing the work you love and having an impact on people is something that we really take to heart, and we like doing what we do. Mm-hmm. I also feel like when I started, the thing that made me want to really pursue it and go all in was that I felt like there was no better time than then, like to start. And my biggest fear for me was to decide to not go through with it and just have massive regret down the line to have not even tried. I feel like if you try, like you can't be delusional and try something for 5 years, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, just keep at it, because then, you know, you kind of have to pivot and change your stuff. So just give yourself a shot, give yourself at least the time to try it out.
I love
you'll
that.
See if you like it, and you'll see if you grow, and you'll see that if there's a passion behind it, the work will get done regardless. I feel like we work more hours and we work harder now than we used to.
But it feels easier, much easier. And beyond the flexibility we have with our time, it's also working with businesses has been so rewarding as well. Like we so many different people, we're actually making a difference. We're part of their team. So it's been so good and I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah, you feel like you contributed to something more than just yourself and just sending over a video and getting a paycheck.
Yeah,
you
know, we also get to be creative, do what we love.
Take 3 weeks off or off to go to on trips and stuff during the year, and just, you know, we can, you know, you do your work ahead of time to compensate for those weeks. But
work while we travel. So there's for sure.
Yeah.
I love that.
Which sounds like you guys are getting on a plane tomorrow. Where are you going?
Yes.
Yeah. We're heading to New Zealand.
Yes.
And Australia, right? For the first time for both you guys.
Yes. Yeah.
So exciting. Guys,
amazing.
Work for yourself, pursue excellence, grow your business, and
maybe you can go
to New Zealand for 3 weeks. I love it.
That's so good.
So good.
Thank you guys for being on. Seriously, this is a huge help for so many people. Mm. I think your guys' knowledge around this topic and your willingness to share was really inspiring. And everyone, go follow Mig and Karianne, send them a message. Guys, thanks for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, what a good episode. I literally love them so much. They're just great. Such great people, and it's so fun to work with them, and they're just a hoot, like you guys. If you get to hang with them in person, maybe at a future Inner Circle retreat or something, you will just absolutely fall in love with them. But you guys, take this information and run with it. If you are someone who's like, I'm stuck doing those one-off jobs, I want to build something that's more sustainable, copy what they are doing. Copy what they're doing in their flexibility, their communication, their content online. Mm. And if you build a piece of content that you gleaned off of the information that they did, tag them and tag Creative Rise. Mm-hmm. We want to see it. And we want to, we'll comment and pump you up in it. If you post an Instagram reel like that, we want to see it. Get in front of the camera, all that good stuff. So again, you can follow them. I'll put their bios in the show notes. You can easily just follow them. Again, they were part of the mastermind. If you want to be on the next 6-week mastermind, jump on the wait list. And you guys, just thanks for listening to the show. Mm. We so appreciate you guys coming every single week, listening to these episodes, cheering people on. We just love, love, love helping you build a business that you can succeed at so that you can do what you love every single day. We're so pumped. We have a week. This is a weekly episode. If this is helpful for you, if you love the podcast, share it with a friend. Tag us on, throw us up on your stories, tag Creative Rise. We'd love to repost you and just shout you out and get to know you a little bit more. If you have any questions about creative business in general that you need support on, right away, shoot us a DM at Creative Rise. It's literally Joey and I answering. So yeah, we will be happy to get you an
maybe
answer.
Even do a full podcast on it. Hey, you give us a really good question, we could do an entire podcast on it, and then we could shout you out on the podcast and go, this episode is for blank.
We're just going to shout you guys out.
Hopefully it'd be such a big help. So anyways, guys, thanks for being here. We'll catch you next week. See ya.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We were so happy to have you here.
And do not forget to jump onto iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and write a written review. That would mean the world to us. And we will catch you next time on the Creative Rise podcast, where we believe you deserve to break the creative struggle, and it should be simple. Peace.